Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Plant people, you know we're gonna talk about one today, mushrooms. The world's first mushroom gummy that was so popular it sold out twice and is finally back in stock. So adaptogens are in everything, functional mushrooms. We know they're good for you, but they always taste too mushroomy, or it's a weird tea, or you know, it tastes like you're drinking mud, and you're not sure how much you need to take or what kind of routine. So these adaptogens, we got Wonder Day Mushroom Gummies, the world's first mushroom multi that combines the power of 10 research-backed adaptogenic mushrooms, including lion's mane, reishi, and shaga, and craveable, chef-crafted pre-dose gummies. They taste so good, we dare you to try to eat just two a day. Truly tastes like Swedish fish. And I'm feeling more consistently balanced, I'm sleeping better, and the wild raspberry flavor, trust me, is so delicious. Highly recommend getting started on your Wonder Day gummies. They're made with 10 research-backed mushrooms. You've heard them all before. Lion's mane, shaga, reishi, cordyceps, maitake, turkey tail. All, and it's vegan. It's tested for purity, DNA verification. It's happiness 100% guaranteed. Love them or get your money back. So go to try.plantpeople.co/mighty to get 15% off your first order with code mighty. That's try.plantpeople.co/mighty. Love feeling wonderful or your money back. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy, Johnny G. Standing 6'2", 299 pounds, climbing because maybe you saw on Deadline that he has a travel show. His weight is fluctuating. Back up from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. It's all you gotta do is trust me, Johnny G. Joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent hot co-host, Arthur Gabris. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios. It's that time of year again, so you know who I had to call. They ain't young, they ain't queens, and there's not one nor three of them. I mean, they're not kings. That's what I should have said there. The edible is kicking in. They are not kings. There are not three of them. They're not one of them. They are not. They are the two old queens, John Flynn and Mark Redding.
Hello.
We fucked it up.
Well, I fucked up my intro, so thank you for purposely ruining yours.
Everyone's edible is kicking in. It's perfect.
Yeah. We timed it well for once. Once we're all peaking at the same time. Mm-hmm. Thank God. We've blown it so many times, boys.
Don't you hate when people are peaking at different times?
Oh, it's exhausting.
What is this, a wavelength?
What is this, cosine?
No, thank you. I do not cosine.
I do not cosine. So, how are things, boys? How are things in the two old Queensiverse?
I think they're good.
I think we're doing well. We're having fun.
What's currently running as the gayest movie? What's got the
still female trouble?
Still female trouble. That's going to be hard to beat. Yeah. But there's no resentment
I'll be
towards
back.
That.
Like, don't you worry. I'll find
you
something.
You got something?
Like Good Will Hunting 2. I'm going to do Manchester by the Sea.
Sean Cody
version. It's a pretty gay movie. The most depressing one. All right. Does it have the male gaze? It's like,
could a drag queen be inspired by Manchester by the Sea?
What's the camp level of Manchester by the Sea? It's based on a play, right? Or it's written by a playwright? That's a
sure. That there gives you go. It,
there you go. There's one. It's now at 1%.
I just remember that coat, and his like whole family dies in a fire.
Yeah,
it could be operatic, I guess. It could be
sure.
Like a Medea, the classic Medea.
Classic.
Yeah. That could work. I saw Casey Affleck at Mixtoe once.
Oh, yeah?
How was he?
Strange.
Misogynistic.
He was very misogynistic. I was like, what the hell are you doing here?
This Mixtoe's for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, but man, we're I think we're doing well, too old. We had a recent entry. Have you seen Beyond the Valley of the Dolls?
Not in a long time, but
that's a recent that top 10
the
entry.
Top five, yeah.
That
yeah.
makes sense. That makes sense. That would be a better one to bring than what I brought. I can't wait to come back now that I understand the show, you know, for a fifth time. Now I finally get it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay. How about this? Okay, I got one. It's Sleepers. No, you don't get it.
I like Sleepers.
It's fun.
River Phoenix. Even though if you didn't know the show, you knew our sensibilities.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You knew the tone.
So I don't know if that's an excuse.
The tone. Got the tone right, brother.
These guys are really going to want to talk about
brother, it. Check your tone. Hey, brother. Listen to your tone, my little tonomaniacs.
Too bad he died before ASMR.
Who, it's too bad.
Macho Man? Yeah. He would have made a killing.
If you could have just held out for ASMR,
yeah,
Elizabeth would still Miss Elizabeth. Ooh, Miss Elizabeth would still have a partner.
Why Miss am I Elizabeth? Doing
that? Miss Elizabeth was his lady.
His lady.
Oh,
his lady,
yeah. Cute.
His woman. He would probably say,
yeah, his woman, who was like, you know. I think they like, you know, forced to marry like four other wrestlers in her career, you know, like where God. It's like, oh no, Hulk Hogan's marrying Miss Elizabeth due to some plot, you know, and it's like, here comes Macho Man. It's like, oh, he's like, this
she's
woman is like more or less
just
Jake the Snake. Yeah. She's
a
like,
trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just a belt for people to pass around.
Yeah. I'm the human belt.
Finally. Empowerment. Enough of these old movies and these old queens and these old wrestling analogies and anecdotes. Let's talk new movies. Now, before we even get into, I mean, maybe let's start talking about the top 10 Oscar picks and let for Best Picture. And let that also would like to transition, add to that conversation, our favorite movies of the year. Because it was a weird year for movies. In and out of theaters, in and out of streamers, in and out of productions, in and out of society, equality. Like, so a lot of shit going on, so I'm curious. But let's get right into Best Picture. Now, I've seen all the Best Pictures but Drive My Car. Drive My Car
is
the only-
Oh, my God.
And do you,
I have not seen that or Coda, but I've seen all the other eight.
I've seen all of them.
All right,
holy
Mark.
Shit. Excuse us, Mark.
Okay. So well, you
is drive.
Yeah, we
my
have
car,
nothing else to say.
Yeah. So I'm going to back out.
What,
and
so
I'm
what do you
just,
think is your favorite of the 10 then, Mark? Which one is your favorite?
My favorite of all 10 is Drive My Car, actually.
Is it really? Okay.
It is.
That's not surprising.
I love cars.
You love cars. You love putting ownership on things.
That's my car.
It's not drive the car.
You're driving my car.
It's not
honey.
Drive a car. It's drive my car.
This is our savings account.
But my car.
I've heard only good things about it, but no, I don't have any real context. No one like pitched it to me in any way. And I don't necessarily need that.
You want that. You want to just go to it. Yeah.
I intend to see it.
It is 3 hours.
Ooh, okay.
Which typically you hate.
I either like a 90-minute movie or a 3-hour movie. It's these 2-hour 40, 2-hour 20. Those are the ones that get to me.
The rhythm is off.
The rhythm
well,
is going to get
you. When it's a 2-hour 40-minute kids movie is when it's on. It's, like, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
when
it's not as enriching.
Yeah.
We're still at the buffet.
More shrimp, please.
Yeah. But Drive My Car, there's the thing that's really interesting. After the opening credits don't start until 40 minutes in.
Ooh, I like that.
Wow,
which
that's a cold
I really
open.
Appreciated because the first 40 minutes is kind of like a prologue because then it's like a year later, I think.
Okay.
But those 40 minutes after those opening credits, it's just like, oh yeah, take a breath, take it in.
We're resetting the
think
time.
Think about what she said. Yeah. Think about what happened. Think about what she saw. And I just thought it was so like tasteful and like a use of opening credits.
Oh, that's awesome.
Almost like a mini intermission.
Yeah.
Didn't the Irishman credits come super late in the movie too?
I think like so. You ever watch an episode of The Good Fight, though? That'll be like 15 minutes in the opening credits in a 45-minute show.
They have a 28-minute cold open and they just so jam crazy. Through five acts in fucking 8 minutes. Yeah.
I love Drive My Car. That's my favorite.
Oh, that's excellent.
Do you think it's going to win?
I have no idea.
Right.
See that? Okay. Well, we can blanket say we don't really know what's going to win, but we can have the
time. I would doubt it. I would doubt it's going to win.
Okay.
I would like it to win. I doubt it's going to win. I'm terrified it's going to be Don't Look Up.
Ben Rogers.
I'm hopeful it might be Power of the Dog, though.
Yes. Sure. That is my pick.
That to me seems like the most likely winner.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely, but that always doesn't happen always.
That's true.
I really, really enjoyed, I love The Power of the Dog. That's the movie I think that I saw this year that stuck with me the most, except for maybe Last Duel. I really liked Last Duel as well.
Last Duel.
Yeah, I thought it was super good and like maligned, I guess, by everyone. And I was like, I don't know if everyone saw it then because it's really not whatever people were taking. I'm worried that West Side Story is going to win, but I don't think it doesn't have a good meta narrative.
I think it has no chance to win.
I'm hoping it does it. Don't Look Up on Action Boys. Ben Rogers was like, this movie could win because both sides of America are seeing a message in this movie and are both feeling vindicated by we watch that movie and we're like, yes, global warming is dangerous. And then anti-vaxxers watch that and they go, see, the vaccine is dangerous. And it's like, wait, what? Like, how are you taking that away from this movie? And it's like, oh, I guess you technically can. You can make that analogy on this movie.
Argument to make, right?
Yeah, but
not intended at all.
But I mean, you could do that about Star Wars, too. Like, if you're an anti-vaxxer, you're like, see, the evil empire,
trying
the
to
Death
vax
Star
us.
Is the vaccine.
Right. I'm a Jedi Knight. I don't need your vax.
Yeah, I'm a rogue.
Look what happened to Yavin 4, you know.
Thank you. That's going to be
stay on target.
Berkeley.
I really liked King Richard and Dune as well. Like, I enjoyed those movie-going experiences big time. I really liked Coda and Belfast as well. Like, these are... There are strong movies. There's not movies that I'm like, what the fuck
yeah,
is
I feel
this
like there's
doing
one that I'm like, I definitely want that one to win, though, to me.
And that's
the
Power
ones that
the
I've
Dog.
Seen. Not really, but I liked Licorice Pizza a lot. I like Nightmare. Like, I liked everything that I've seen off this list. But there's not, for me, one that I love more than the others. Or
I
feel like it's doing something that's even, like, interesting or different. Like, they're all good. Like, you know
Kick
what I mean?
Kick Belfast to the curb. I thought that was
You thought it's
not everything needs to be seen through the eyes of a child.
Oh, I really enjoyed Belfast.
I thought it was so like bloodless and just like it was so like sanitized. It was like a Disney movie. It was like have you seen the Paul Greengrass Bloody Sunday?
Yeah.
About like that thing's fucking intense.
You thought they were
terrifying.
Too sympathetic to the Protestants. I get it.
It felt like Jojo Rabbit. I thought, is this Jojo Rabbit?
Yeah.
It was. It did a little bit. I love that it was 100 minutes. It looked fucking beautiful.
Right. But it also,
pretty,
like, I agree. Like, it had,
cares?
Like, all of the same things of, like, Catholic versus Protestants. Like, oh, me pa. Oh, Danny boy. Like,
just,
it just
I've
was,
seen
like, all
of
those
all of this
things
before.
Again and again.
And all the Van Morrison. Shut
There's
up,
a lot
Van
of
Morrison.
Van Morrison.
Oh, man. Is he going to win the... Is that why you don't
he'll
have
go up
to
on
be...
Stage and- complain cough. About the vaccine.
I'm
He's a lunatic.
What'd you guys think of Nightmare Alley? I thought it was beautiful and boring.
I thought beautiful and boring. I thought it was too much of like, these are all movie stars in a movie without being that visually like unique, but
no,
it wasn't
it's visually
like,
stunning.
Okay.
I really liked it. I liked it.
I
like how the con
wasn't
I
interesting enough or weird
con,
enough for me.
Yeah.
I liked all that stuff.
I thought it was okay. I can't believe it. Like, it's got this much juice behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this was just like I kind of like, and I like Bradley Cooper, so, but I'm going to use him as like a macro for the entire movie because I find him to be like beautiful and boring. Like where I'm okay. like, oh, I like Bradley Cooper in this movie. And then like I put it on and I'm like, it's not really electrifying me in any way, but like.
Not like Rocket Raccoon.
What do you think about Licorice Pizza?
I really, he's great in Licorice Pizza, but I think he's not that in it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's barely in it.
Yeah. But he's a very good part of that movie. I loved Licorice Pizza.
I like Licorice Pizza. And the whole, that sequence with John Peters, I thought was like the best part of the movie.
The whole driving the truck down the hill.
Driving
like,
the truck, that was like, great. 20, but the rest of the movie, it didn't really make any sort of impression on me.
I thought it was a bunch of great scenes, but not like an overall narrative that was that strong. Like there was no overall story.
Like it didn't seem interesting.
It was all really great.
Yeah. Leaving the movie, Tiffany was like, how come they never like called out how weird it is that this kid has like all these businesses and shit? It's like, you know what? You're right. That is kind of strange. I was like, I was just caught up in the world of the movie and was like, just like playing along. And it's like, this is kind of fucking weird.
It reminded me of that Bugsy Malone movie. At times.
Yeah, it's like fucking Kids Incorporated.
Right.
I like Dune, but I wasn't like blown away by it either. The thing it missed was lacking for me was like in Lord of the Rings, you love those characters. Like there's nobody in Dune you really come away like loving, like rooting for necessarily.
I also feel
but
like
I love the world.
Dune itself as a movie doesn't feel standalone in that the first Lord of the Rings movie, I think the first one especially
Fellowship
did, you know,
hits
like
as
you felt
a
like, okay,
movie.
That was the story. It's come to a conclusion, whereas with Dune, it just felt like, and that's when we're stopped.
Yeah, and it's just beginning. Oh,
I remember in the first Fellowship when you finally see like that Balrog at the end of that. I was like, well, how are they going to top this? Like that was the coolest, biggest fantasy thing, epic thing I've ever seen. How are you going to top that?
Is that like one of the best made trilogies of all time? Is the Lord of the Rings trilogy? Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
For sure. Like just so good, and it's like such a. It's long but tight. It's telling an expansive story but cohesive.
Right.
You tell him
like
me,
a tequila.
I loved Dune and I'm dying. I didn't see it on the big screen because it came out like peak timing. But wow. I want to see it. I want to see it in IMAX.
I'm sure
so
when part two comes back, they'll do that. There'll be screenings where you can
the complete experience.
You can sit down
Dune.
For 5 hours on mushrooms and watch both back to back.
Dune is done. They'll say.
City Walk? Come on. Yeah.
Oh, let's do
it. The 1 hour lunch break? Come
on. Yeah, go to Margaritaville and smash fucking some barbecue chicken quesadillas.
Volcano nachos.
Right back in it. I loved Dune so much. I love the look of it. I love the sound of it.
I
like that guy, the director, a lot. Like, I like everything
Denis
he's made.
Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve. I did not feel comfortable trying to say it. But I
French. It's fine.
I know what you're saying, Mark. Because like, if a character in that, and I think a characters in that movie did die, and it did not have any effect on me. You know what I mean? Like, right? Like, I was like, oh, I couldn't even tell you the characters' names, but you like leave. You're like Frodo, Sam, and I mean, obviously, but they're both classic books, so it's kind of a.
Well, Dune's always been more cerebral. It's more cerebral.
It's
experience
more unnecessarily complicated. I watched the Lynch Dune this year too. Like, I rewatched that in prep for seeing the
Jane Lynch Dune. I would love to see that.
All that singing.
I'm going to make a Dune parody so hot. Whatever the meme is.
That was it.
Yeah. I liked Don't Look Up, but I couldn't believe it was in the conversation for Best Picture. It looked like a fucking Funny or Die sketch. I mean, like, it didn't seem like Leonardo DiCaprio and J-Law seemed to be in costume, like in like
those
in
bangs. Like, why didn't nobody talk about those? That's what Don't Look Up is. You're going to see those god awful bangs.
Don't Look Up, but her forehead's not visible due to some awful choices.
Yeah. Not since Scream 3 have there been such bad bangs. I'm just annoyed that it was nominated because now we still have to like talk about it. Like normally it would have come out the week of Christmas. We would have forgotten about it.
Right. And we
as it should be.
And we have to talk about Don't Look Up and we have to talk about fucking Lucy because of
the Ricardos.
because both of them are nominated, which is crazy because that movie was the hottest. I rarely ever hate movies.
Hated being the Ricardos?
It was so uncomfortable and bad. Like, I couldn't deal with it. Like, it was
it
like
looked so cheap,
me.
Too. Yeah.
And on top of it, it's like, it's It looks like a scene from a TV show about a prestige movie.
That was made in the 90s.
Yes.
Like, episodes of West Wing look more visually splendorous. Mm.
Tiffany, at one point while we're watching, is just like, Javier Bardem's head is distractingly big.
It's so enormous.
And I'm like, I think you're right.
He's getting ready for MODOK.
I know. He's like, Lucy. You know, like,
look out for that psychic beam.
Lucy.
I was surprised. I thought it was a bad movie and like completely humorless.
But yeah, I did for a think, movie about comedy legends who is
comedy looks awful.
Yeah,
maybe it is to Aaron Sorkin because he looks at comedy. He's like, oh, that makes him miserable.
Yeah, maybe he thinks when he does his comedy,
he's like this Studio 60.
Yeah.
And if it's your creativity is like this laborious, maybe you should do something else. If it's like costing you so much, if it's such a burden, build a house, make a deck.
It might have been John Levenstein on Twitter, but someone said something to the effect of like, love a movie where the big third act conflict is a speaker phone call in front of a crowd.
With J. Edgar Hoover.
Right. Yeah.
The hero.
They made J. Edgar Hoover a hero. Okay, Sorkin, solid message there. That was probably the best message to use Lucy and Desi for. Is that?
Yeah.
Well, also, you know, it was such a crazy move that you're like, you know, you're going to get called out for this one, right?
Right. Yeah.
People are going to be like, that didn't happen, P.S.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, I know you're really angry about how everyone keeps saying you're like an out of touch older white guy. But I don't think this being the Ricardos is going
to help
prove that you're plugged back in, dog. It's like, try something to seem like you're paying attention to the world.
You know, it's rough when you're thinking like, well, it's no Trial of Chicago 7.
You know? I know. Yeah. And I like Trial of Chicago 7 because I have problems.
Like, it wasn't like that was at least watchable.
Yeah, it was at least a movie where you were like, OK, here's where the movie is potentially going to go. And here's the outcome I'd prefer as, you know, and then with being the Ricardos, you're like, are either of them, how old were Lucy and Desi? Like, what the fuck?
What am I rooting for right now? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Why am I stressed for them? Like, the actors in this movie? I think of the 10, the only one we haven't really talked, well, I guess we could talk a little West Side Story. Loved it. But like, again, beautiful, but boring. And
that's how I felt. Yeah, beautiful, but boring.
Like, why is sort of what I was thinking the whole time of like, okay, like they made, as you know, I know West Side Story, the movie very well, and I've done it twice. So there's I sort of notice a lot of changes that they make. And I was just like, okay, I didn't hate the changes that you made, but I didn't see what they did other than you were like, what if it's this instead?
Right, right.
So it just felt to me like, I'm not sure why you're doing this.
That makes sense. I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. And that was my same reaction to watching the original. It's like, I see why a lot of people like this. This is...
It's like Blade Runner for me. It's the same thing as Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I get why people love it, but I'm just like, it doesn't click for me.
That's how I feel about West Side Story. I'm like, I understand why this is a successful movie. I understand why a lot of people love this movie and sing these songs. It stuck with me big time, but I'm not a musical guy. At least I find myself enjoying movie musicals more and more as now that they're not just like filming stage adaptation. You know what I mean? Like, I loved Tick, Tick, Boom.
Being their own thing.
Like, I really enjoyed Tick, Tick, Boom this year. And I was like, and I was like, I had no idea what I was getting into putting that on. And I was like, holy shit, this is a fucking
what is this gonna be?
What is this bullshit?
Oh boy, let me buckle up. Lin-Manuel, okay.
All right, brother, I guess
the loose cannon of Hollywood could potentially do anything.
Lin-Manuel Miranda's directing a movie about the guy who wrote Rent, and they're singing? What?
I don't know.
I have no idea what to expect.
I did think West Side Story was like beautifully directed, though. Like, just watching,
sure,
like,
absolutely.
Every person who's made a musical in the last 20 years, watch this. Like, this is what movie, the camera moves. The cinematography is gorgeous. And then look at Tick, Tick, Boom, which looks like shit.
I know. It looks like a very special episode of Law and Order.
Everyone's using terrible green screen, and I hate it.
Yeah. Wait, let's talk, because I think you said something here, Mark, because I think West Side Story is well directed, and it is a Spielberg movie, so he is the Academy does like him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And based on the other directors in that list, like, We got, I think Jane Campion could win. I don't think PTA is going to win this year. I don't think Branna is going to win this. And I haven't seen Drive My Car, but
it's beautiful.
Beautiful. So directing could work for, and I'm.
Do you think it could win best directing?
Sure.
Hamaguchi, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I get the sense it's going to Jane Campion.
So yeah, I get the sense that's going to go to Spielberg, but that Power of the Dog might win best picture. And so then
I would probably give it to Spielberg actually. Because I do think it was like the best directed. I don't love West Side Story, like the story.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But I appreciate like how well, I thought it was better than the 60s one. I liked it more than the 60s one.
It was better, more interestingly directed.
Yeah, it was the camera moves and like the production design. It was great.
I love the choreography too. Yeah. I thought the choreography was really good in West Side Story. Talking about camera and production design, did you guys see Tragedy of Macbeth by any chance?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought... It was really fucking cool. And I was just seeing it. It happened to be a movie that I didn't know anything about that weekend. You know, I was just like, oh, this happens. I need to talk about a movie on Monday for Movie Buff. I want to go to the movies. Nothing I want to see is out. Oh, I'll go see Tragedy Macbeth. Didn't know it was also on Apple TV. So I just saw it. You know, when you're an A-list member, you can just dip into the theater.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, Mark's in my entourage. John, we need
I'm
to text.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm right on top of it, Rose. but I went and saw it and it was fucking gorgeous. Yeah. It was beautiful. And I leaned over to, I was like, you know, wondering if Tiffany was into it because it's like, you know, she has more of attention deficit disorder than I do. So I was like, she's like, this movie is beautiful. And I'm like, I know. Also, I think this is the most I've understood Macbeth in like seeing it and reading it in school. Like I managed to grasp it the most this time around. And maybe truly just because Denzel and Frances McDormand and company don't let you like take your eyes off. Like I couldn't stop paying attention. And the best representation of the three witches ever done on.
Yeah, that was like, super creepy
and fun. So fucking cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was great. It's too bad he's not nominated.
Is Denzel nominated for? Would he be supporting or would he be lead there? I should know that off the top of my head.
For actor,
he's nominated for best actor. That's a crazy category. I'd love for Garfield to get that.
Well, I think
really,
so.
You think Andrew Garfield is going to get for Tick Tick Boom?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think
he's the only reason that movie works.
Like, yes,
he's the only good part of that
movie.
He's
a full-blown triple threat in that movie, too.
I think he's the whole, like, if it was someone, like, because the story, who gives a fuck? Oh, you're going to die when you're 30? You know what I mean? I don't care. You're fine.
I'm 40. That doesn't mean shit to me anymore.
Yeah, Tick, Tick, Boom. You got tons of time. Relax. God. You're already doing great.
Oh, wait. I didn't watch the epilogue of the movie. Relax.
Oh, there's a cut. There's a deleted scene?
Yeah. But he was amazing.
He was truly the thing that made the movie good. Like I could see it winning if a song is nominated or for Garfield, and that's it for that movie. But I came around on him completely, and then seeing No Way Home and me still loving Garfield so much that he was the highlight of the Spider-Man movie for me. Like it was just so awesome to have him in that movie, and I love Tom Holland as someone who saw Uncharted yesterday.
Obviously, yes. Obviously. Oh yes, clearly, no one's disputing that. I agree, but I think so much of the love he's getting for Tick, Tick, Boom, part of it is sort of residual Spider-Man stuff, which I wouldn't say is undeserved, but I do think that I think if Will Smith doesn't win, it's going to be real weird.
No.
I was just about to say
he was bad in that. I thought he was distracting.
No, I don't think
everyone
was bad.
Else was better.
He was definitely like doing a character, but I thought he did a good job.
I really thought I really enjoyed King Richard. I do think it was the most like movie of the year. But that made me really, I think, added my enjoyment of it. I understand why for some people it's like it's an Oscar movie. You know what I mean?
It's like a Ford v Ferrari kind of thing.
Yeah. But Will Smith is like more more charismatic by exponents. He's just so, I mean, to me, Will Smith is like my entire development of like, you know, like I was
really?
Watching him. I watched him like every day on TV. Like that's like a person who you can't take your eyes off fucking Fresh Prince. You're not gonna be able to take your eyes off of fucking King Richard. And I thought he was so good in that. I could see that winning Best Picture too, maybe. And I could definitely see him taking home this. Like, but I would be happy with Denzel or Garfield getting it too. And I love The Power of the Dog, but Cumberbatch, the movie was like, he was good in it.
He's good in it.
The movie was more about me. Like, that it felt like a full sum of its parts kind of movie. Because it was.
I also think he's miscast in it.
Agreed.
Quick thought, though. Do you think in that Peacock show, Bel Air, that Will Smith will show up as the kid's father?
Like, oh, that's a great fucking... if he's going to do a cameo...
Shared universe.
That's he should do it
if
as
If he's
going to
do
that's
a cameo, he should show up as... The deadbeat dad. And redo that beat, but now with even higher... That shit fucked me up when I was a kid. That shit fucked me up.
A thing about daddy issues?
Weird. Yeah, who would have thought? Yeah. That was while my dad was alive when I first saw it.
Oh, boy.
Things could have still been resolved. And so, Mark, you think
Will Smith now? That's
you think Bardeen should win it? Got it. Okay,
I love Bardeen. No, he was terrible. I thought Nicole was better than I thought she was going to be, though.
Yeah,
definitely.
I thought so too.
The comedy beats, not so much, when they sort of like reenacting like the wine thing, squashing the grapes.
And
like,
then
yeah.
it's this. And then
I would have
almost
rather just don't show us that side at all. Show us the workman like ball buster side.
Right.
Yeah. Don't even show.
We know the comedy.
Right.
Please.
Right.
Yeah. And you're gonna just take iconic sketches and have Nicole Kidman half do them. Even Heartbreak feels great in a place like
this. Like this.
I love that.
AMC theaters.
I was so high
at Uncharted yesterday. After it was over and it was quiet in the theater, I turned to Tiffany. I go, AMC theaters, and everyone. It was way louder than I intended. And people were like, "What the fuck?" And I'm like mocking an Aussie accent. Like, even Heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
Cranky here,
Crikey. Athletic Greens, powdered greens for your body. I'm making up my own catchphrases because I'm a fan of the product. I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted better gut health and I wanted a supplement that I could take in the morning on an empty stomach because I'm a little bit of an intermittent faster, so I don't want to eat until later on in the day. So being able to have some nutrients in there with no calories and not activating my insulin growth response, it's quite a delight. So what is with this stuff? With one scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. It's a small micro habit that's easy to build. It's like taking your multi every day, but it's easier to drink, and you get some water. Your subscription comes with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is also important to add in these winter months when we don't get as much sunlight. It ends up costing less than $3 a day. So you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. And you're investing in nutritional insurance for your body. It's climate neutral certified. And the founder realized he was having a lot of gut health issues and was on $100 worth of supplements a day, banged it down just to the Athletic Greens, and it worked out great for him. So right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/mighty. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/mighty to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Your style isn't one size fits all. Trust me. It's about what suits your body and what suits the moment. And that is where Stitch Fix comes in. If you want to look good and don't have time to shop, then trust me, Stitch Fix is for you. Need refined workwear or casual basics? They can elevate your look. They can send you items that work for your unique frame. Again, trust me on that. As someone with a unique frame, it works wonders. You can schedule a fix and a style expert will send you 5 pieces that fit your style, size, and price range. You prefer to shop, but you don't want to endlessly browse. You go to Stitch Fix Freestyle. All you got to do is to get started is take a style quiz. Stitch Fix can learn your preferences from your favorite colors to preferred fits and price ranges, and they'll help you get you fresh items from brands. So it's time to style smarter, not harder. Okay. Get started today by filling out your free style quiz at stitchfix.com/mighty and take advantage of free shipping and returns. That's stitchfix.com/mighty to try Stitch Fix. stitchfix.com/mighty. Time to get someone else shopping. What about, we jumped around a lot with the Best Picture, but John, you didn't see Coda. Mark, you watched Coda this morning.
I just watched it this morning, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this what like those Netflix tall girl movies are like? You know what I mean? It just feels like a YA, like,
it felt,
she's got an audition at the end. Is she going to make it?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I like the world. I just wish like that family was in like a different story.
Yeah, I love
just make it about the fishing co-op.
That was more interesting.
That's like more interesting than is she going to get into Berklee School of Music? Because we know she is.
And weirdly enough, who would have thought the story of a child of deaf adults that the more compelling characters were the deaf adults?
Yeah, center around her.
Yeah, center around the hearing and speaking person. I thought. The guy, the dad.
The ending got to me though. I'm not made of stone.
No,
it was like said that, but it's not true.
You knew what the movie was going to be the second it started, right? Like it was like,
and
it was
beautiful moments, like when he's feeling her sing, touching her neck. That stuff's great.
All the dad stuff is some of the best.
And that son is hot, hot, hot.
I was going to ask because he was a bit of a stud. I agree.
There's a super stud.
The dad
That's
is nominated,
the Oscar
right?
category we need. Superstar of the year.
I feel like
the dad is nominated.
His name is Troy Kotsur, and I feel like he could win for best supporting.
I think so.
I think so.
I'd give it to him or Cody Smith McPhee.
Is that the
nightmare twink we love?
Yeah. The goth twink of the
Bowery. I love him.
God, man, that movie.
I've never seen a character like that.
Exactly. And also, again, like Benedict Cumberbatch wasn't the true highlight of Power of the Dog, but I've never seen a character like that either, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like a catty, bully cowboy. And like
film noirish, too.
Right. And it was like, is he a misogynist or a closet? Like, case. The movie, and you never really.
You can be both.
It turns out,
to be fair.
Multitudes.
He's layered.
It's probably a reason for both.
Something I really. Like in a movie is a movie where I never feel like I have my footing, but I also am not lost either.
You have to pay attention.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is, and like, you just don't know what the movie's driving towards ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you sitting in the mood of the movie, it's so well acted, so well shot that movie just stuck with me in such a way.
You
and
just
then when
keep thinking about it.
Yeah. And when the ending happens and you're like, oh, fuck, okay, holy shit.
Kaiser Soze level.
Yeah, it is. But I know people who saw the movie didn't get that and still loved it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a lot of people were like,
you don't lose.
I just love
Cattle. Bruce Willis is dead, except it's a good movie.
Right, but it's still like, they're just as like unbalanced as I was. I'm just like grasping on something at
they're
the end.
They're just as unbalanced.
Yeah, and they're just as, I'm chemically, and they ideologically.
It is one of the, like, the first hour when I saw it the first time, I was like, what is going on? This feels so weird. Like, where is this going?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I watched it a second time, and like, you just see, like, oh, it all makes perfect sense.
I'm looking forward to the rewatch. Like, once you now know more stuff and you're like, catch it, you're like, oh, Bronco Henry. Tell me a little more about Bronco Henry.
Oh, his name has been brought up a few times.
I think I had an uncle like Bronco Henry.
It has
like
all these,
like, an uncle like Bronco.
We love Bronco Henry.
No, we're all fans of. We're all Bronco Henry down here.
Are you into Bronco Henry? Heard the name Bronco Henry?
Have you heard?
That's the new bandana code.
Yeah. Bronco Henry ringing any bells?
Friends of Bronco Henry. Wait, we should get t-shirts made that say Friends of
FOVH.
Friends of Bronco Henry.
On a belt buckle.
Explaining that shirt to people. Friends of Bronco.
It's the new friend of Dorothy.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Dorothy. There's a little more relevant. Yes. Bronco Henry.
I worked with a dude, an engineer, who wore a friend of Dolly, an updated FOD shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, I was like, that's really cool. And he was like, oh, and do you, and he, like, you know, of course, was like, do you understand the significance? I was like, yes, of course. I'm just a straight guy who loves Dolly Parton as well. Like, you know, I understand what.
Well, some people like wearing shirts in order to start a conversation.
That's true. I'm learning that. I had an improv teacher one time say, like, hey, Gabrus, you like to wear cool shirts. Just be careful. You never want your shirt to be funnier than you are in a show.
That's a good point.
I was like, nope, never wore a tongue-in-cheek shirt on stage ever again. Yeah.
That's why it's forbid sketch teams from using, like, Lonely Island songs in
between
their
sketches.
Yes, you
can't have funny transitions.
You cannot do it.
No. It's better. It's even bad when you have good music, because then people are like, oh, they're going to stop playing Toto's Africa to do a dumb sketch.
God forbid.
The highlight of this was when the lights were out and I heard a good song I know for 45 seconds.
It's like a really good shuffle with the iPod.
Then I have to watch
you're competing against a good playlist.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, we wrote this month. Okay. Can't wait.
It's better than Proud Mary.
Let's talk best actress. I did not see The Eyes of Tammy Faye. I'm wondering if either of you did.
I did.
No way. Mark, you did, huh?
I did see Eyes of Tammy Faye. I thought she was great. The movie's not very good. She was really great. And I she had like really levels and layers. I thought she was like so much better than Christian Stewart in George. Spencer.
Christian Bale as Kristen Spencer in the movie.
I won't marry you, Charles.
Spencer, why would you walk through my eye line in the middle of the fucking shot, Spencer?
This character from The Fighter?
That's his cat. That's me doing, trying to do a British accent of him flipping out on the set of Terminator about the guy who walks in his eye line.
I remember.
I did not see Parallel Mothers either, but I am a big Penelope fan. So
I haven't seen that one either.
We love her.
I did not see Spencer. Tiffany started it without me and said she was so bored by it that I was
bored too. I thought it was like a long perfume commercial. Like you get it.
It was
kind
of like
minutes.
That. Yeah,
it's fun. Like it feels like The Shining for the first 30 minutes, but then it's the same thing for another hour.
But I thought Olivia Colman was great in Lost Daughter.
I could see Colman winning it pretty easily. This is another one of those where, like, I feel like no one really wants to give it to Nicole Kidman. With Kristen Stewart, there's this, like, she had all this buzz, and I think people are now just happy that she got the nomination.
Right. I think that scratched everyone's.
She did say, though, okay, like, when she was at the beginning, like, I don't really care about the Oscar. Like, well, then great. Then don't give it to her. Don't nominate her.
Good. Let's take her off the list.
She doesn't want this. Let's give it to people who are invested.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think Olivia Colman feels most likely.
Yeah.
And I
could
be
see Penelope Cruz for.
I think it'll be Penelope Cruz. Because they just gave it to Olivia Colman. She just won an Oscar like 2 years ago or something.
I guess it depends on how many people saw Parallel Mothers.
Do you think every Academy member is really watching all these
movies? No, that's what I'm saying. She could win just
for
that.
That's
why
I think, Penelope's great. You know what I mean? Let's give her some recognition. We love her.
Yeah.
But I feel like people aren't saying, like, she's great.
I don't think it matters. Right. In general, I mean, they think she's great. Like, we love her.
No, I agree. But, like, I think more people are seeing Lost Daughter, and Olivia Colman is great in it. And if she wins, I would not be upset or think this was undeserved.
Sure.
So I think in that way, someone might be more comfortable voting for a performance they've seen and think is worthy, as opposed to someone who they haven't seen and they've heard is good.
Yeah.
Especially when it's not like people are saying, like, you have to see Penelope Cruz in Parallel Mothers. People are like, she's amazing, because she always is. And she especially is with the director.
Almodovar.
Pedro, you know what I mean? They work so well together. But they're not. No, I haven't heard people say, like, this is a career.
Yeah, I'm not hearing a lot of buzz from.
But people win for like roles that they shouldn't have won for. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is really.
Yeah.
I don't think
she's coming off of like. It's not like Glenn Close at some point. You know, it's finally gonna be like, just give it to her already.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's she did. Like, Penelope should have won for last year, but she's winning for this one.
Right.
It's not that situation yet either. But I could see her.
I think it could happen.
I think this is another category, though, where no one really, like, I'm like, oh, fuck, it has to be this person.
Exactly.
Right? I would love a Jessica Chastain one.
You would.
Okay.
Honestly, you know who should win is the lead from Titane. Where's Titane?
Yes.
Or Benedetta. That chick in Benedetta is so fucking good, too. Like, but Titane,
I never stop thinking about it. I had to stop thinking about that movie. I saw it when it came out in theaters, and I've never not thinking about it.
I saw in theaters as well by myself and felt insane after the fact. Like,
when insane, but then it's also at the end, you're like, it was kind of beautiful.
It was like, absolutely, you know? It was like a touching parenting
these
story.
These two
somehow,
like, outcasts, like, come find each other.
I know.
These two
it's
weirdos
really weird.
Find each other. And it's like, kind of beautiful.
And they just forgive each other for their fucking weirdness,
yeah,
constantly.
For being monsters.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, no. It's okay. I'm a fucking freak.
It's incredible.
Too. Don't worry. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, that's the kind of movie that should be recognized.
Yeah, I can't imagine showing like that in the montage. Like that,
the Oscars want to be relevant again.
How they portray
today?
How they portray the fireman in that movie at the when they have that party at the end is like so. That is such good, like, comedy,
erotic,
homoeroticism. It's like,
yeah,
it's like 15 different points of view being turned on at the same time.
Yeah,
and you just have to deal with it. And it's so fucking.
People are turned on for different reasons.
Yeah, you're like laughing. It's kind of hot, no matter what direction you look at it from. It's funny. It's kind of scary for everyone involved.
It's perverse.
It's tense. Yeah, like you're like, I hope neither party really finds out the motive of the other party. Like,
Tatane has everything.
Yeah. It's got everything
you want in a movie.
All right, let's talk supportings. Anyone stand out on either side for you as like a killer supporting? Like, I think Tony, the dad from Coda, and I don't think J.K. Simmons brought it.
No way.
But the kid who played the brunette kid, Cody Smith McPhee.
Cody Smith McPhee.
I think he's a strong contender. Yeah. He could win as well, but for the rest of them, not like Ciarán Hinds.
Ciarán Hinds is good. He also passed away, so it's like the story of him getting it.
Oh, that could work for him too. I do also like. I would love the narrative of Jesse and Jesse Plemons and Kristen Dunst winning.
He's going home with one. Sure,
bookends.
But I do not think they are the strongest ones in their category. Although Kristen Dunst might be, because no one. Oh, never mind. I got to go with Ariana DeBose.
DeBose. I think it's going to be her for West Side Story. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she is the highlight of that movie. Like,
yeah.
It's that role.
It's the, you know what I mean? It's the best part.
Yeah. She stood out in a movie that's like huge blockbuster, grandiose movie. And you're like, whoa, who's that? And I didn't know.
She outshined Ansel Elgort, if you can believe it.
Who would have thought? She out charismaed the fucking block of fucking granite.
Cardboard Sandy of a person.
Mm-hmm. All right,
like
well, we
99
got
99 cent store James Dean or something.
All right, we can get the second team out of there. We got it all lit. That guy was the main guy? That was the shot? Oh, that's in the movie? Oh, fuck. Yeah, I think she could get it. She can get it is a weird way to say that.
She could get it.
I think she could get it, maybe.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone wants to give it to Judi Dench for this performance.
No.
The mom.
She's barely in it.
The mom is best.
They made that mistake once.
Oh, yeah. The mom from King Richard was really good, too. But
She was incredible. Yeah. I'd give it to her.
She could take it home. And
I thought
she
was the
upset.
Best part of King Richard.
Yeah, I mean, she was very a very fun guy.
And John Bernthal
John Bernthal, though.
He could do anything, though.
He's so good in that movie. I mean, he's getting to play such a fun, insane character, but he's so fucking good as well. He's so charming. It's so hard to take your eyes off him. And then they dress him up in the fucking real wardrobe and hair of this lunatic. And Rick Macy. And it just adds a fucking layer to the movie, man. And a movie that is cruising and you're like, oh, this is the main cast, this is the plot, and then all of a sudden you just introduce this dude who like is doing fucking cosplay and just
right.
He's
like, here's Corky St. Clair.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's a great way of putting it. Enter Corky St. Clair.
All right, girl.
Okay. Oh, all right.
All right, we're off.
Oh, a surprise. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk screenplays, fam. I have to root. I should say this here so that there's no conflict of interest.
Please,
but, okay.
You're friends with David Sirota?
Close. I'm a good friend of mine is married to Zach Balin, the screenwriter of King Richard.
Well, I'm okay, about to throw him in the trash.
And you're out, Zach. Sorry. I do think I did not see The Worst Person in the World, and that is another movie I'm really want to see.
I saw it last night.
What did you think?
It's fun. It's like a dark rom-com. It's great.
It was
and it's also one of these movies where it says like a movie and a prologue, 12 chapters, and an epilogue. I feel like that's a new thing movies are doing now.
Yeah,
chapters
yeah.
Table
and
of
movies.
Contents.
Yeah,
I think I really like it.
The power of TV, where
it's a good way
like,
you can sort of pace
we
got
to put, we got to right? just print 12 episodes
or
back
just
to
DVDs
back to back.
Of yeah. like,
I remembered chapter. When they said it was chapter 9. I was like, okay, I could wait to go to the bathroom. Right. You know, what I was like, I appreciate.
If they said
that.
6, you'd be like, I'm out.
I'm going. Yeah, yeah. But 9. Break. All right. And some of these chapters are very short.
Uh huh.
But it's fun. It is well written.
Yeah. Don't Look Up is well written too. I would give it that.
Yes.
As, but like in the way where I don't think the screenplay is the thing that makes that movie at all like enjoyable.
No, it's
but
like
I can see people being like, it's got funny lines, it's got good messages. That means it's well written. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I just don't. And Belfast, like, whatever, say whatever you want about the movie. I don't think you're like, what I take away from it is it was a perfect story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
so much so happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Belfast.
Yeah, and Licorice Pizza, I can't see PTA getting it. Like, this is not his
that's
best
not like a
movie.
Big, like, that's movie's just, like, that movie's just like, oh, it's like a vibe.
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
a,
it's
like,
a vibe. It's a vibe hang. It's a lot of great scenes, but it's yeah. not like a,
it doesn't really
oh,
add
the
up
end.
To much. Just like, yeah, yeah, sometimes people don't want to grow up.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy in Los Angeles to not
I
grow
can
up.
Agree.
Hello, look at us. Brianna Monday. To be fair, it is a holiday.
Yeah, it is a president. We are celebrating our presidents. We are all stoned and screaming about our movies.
I just thought like Don't Look Up didn't like heighten enough. It was just
no.
like one step above. Like Mars Attacks is the same thing but better. Uh-huh.
Like,
if you're going to make it the world ridiculous, make it ridiculous.
Yeah. And
like, the goofy product names and all that stuff. Like, what are you talking about?
It felt like Pod Save America humor or something.
Yeah.
Like that. You know what I mean?
For?
Like, I'm not disparaging against, but it's not like what I want in a movie.
It's like
it's
smug
kind of like
and like self-satisfied.
Liberal smugness.
Yes, exactly.
I never want to hear a comedian be proud of themselves.
No.
You know?
No. Not until I've ever felt a modicum of pride for myself do I
yes.
want to hear anyone yeah. else feeling pride.
Reveal how you are pathetic, Adam McKay.
Yeah.
And not looking down on everyone else.
Yeah. Please. Although, again, he like magic bulleted this movie because everyone's going to be like, see, the government is not to be trusted with the vaccines and stuff. It's like, oh, my God, you guys, you missed the whole fucking point. There's no subtext in this movie.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
At all.
There's no mess. There's no layers. It's the message is the movie. It's like, we have to stop climate change. Like,
yeah.
All right. What about, so I'm rooting for Zach, obviously. Oh, I'll tell this story on this pod. Maybe
please.
I'll end up telling it again tonight on Movie Buff, but, I went out to dinner when my friend moved here. And I had not met her husband yet. We used to work together back at VH1 back in the day. And she was like, oh, well, we're going to do a double date. Tiffany ended up bailing last minute. And I was like, Kate, I'm still down to go out. And she's like, oh, yeah, me too. And Zach and my husband will be there. Zach will be there. We're great. I go sit down. He's like, talking about he's like moved to Hollywood to be a screenwriter and I'm like, oh yeah man, it's fucking crazy hard, you know, I'm like yeah. talking about like, yeah man, grinding, I got a lot of friends in the business, blah blah blah. He's like, yeah I'm like, well, tell me what are you working on? He's like, tells me, he's like, the idea, he's like, it's about Venus and Serena's dad. It's like, I'm like, ooh, that's actually a really cool idea, you know, like biopics are big these days.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I don't know where Will Smith bought it, we're producing it, it's being like,
you're,
you know,
like, oh good.
And I'm like talking to him like, like, hey man, you know, you just keep trying, and I'm watching this movie get like nominated. He's got like he's getting like a BAFTA. He's got all these nominations along the way, and I'm like, thinking back to sitting across from a Dear John, going like, you know, and it's hard. So good luck, but I think you have something here. He's like, yeah, I sold it already, you idiot.
But can he pick a
thanks
good strain of weed?
Me.
But I was so happy because I was able to be like, other people were like, what's this King Richard? I'm like, dude, Will Smith as Venus and Serena's dad, that shit's going to be good. Like, I was like, now I was like, now I got the inside scoop. I'm not an idiot anymore.
Trust me.
Trust me, baby.
I heard the pitch.
All right. What about Best Adapted? I haven't seen a lot of those. I haven't seen Drive My Car, I guess, is the only one.
I'd give it to Drive My Car because it did. I've read a few Murakami books and it really does capture the like dreamlike magical realism. Like it felt like one of his books.
What was the Murakami book that was big in like the early 2000s?
Norwegian Wood.
No, I thought
The Wind Up Bird Chronicle.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I read that. I thought I read a book that was like sort of popular at the time. And
his books are amazing. Everybody should read them.
Oh, I should now.
You should. Dune was good. I thought it made like that crazy world like accessible. But also, I read the book twice, so I'm not the best judge of what is accessible.
Right, but that you might be actually a good judge for the adapted category because of that. Like, because I thought it was much more understandable than the David Lynch one. And the David Lynch one features. I watched the first half of the Dune story in this most recent one, obviously, because it's only a part one of two.
Right.
And I go like, I understand all of Dune more than when I watched the David Lynch one.
Yeah.
And the David Lynch one features the characters in ADR just giving you their thoughts and the plot line, and it's still confusing. It really has like features like a freeze frame of Kyle's face and just audio of like, so that's what spice is. Okay, now moving on.
Everybody got it?
So here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
They should just do like lore dense movies like pop-up video style. Like just do it. Like who cares? Just show us the Easter egg.
Let us opt in or out.
Yeah.
Yeah, get special glasses to put on. Be like, I'm an idiot, so you can just like highlight stuff that I'm missing.
I'd love
out
that
on
for like something like Lincoln, which I was like, really what's happening? Who is that again?
Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, he was president?
He's an old dude.
Have you seen him in that car commercial? No, it's like Weekend at Bernie's.
That's upsetting. I don't want to see Tommy Lee Jones in commercials.
No, that's really upsetting.
Yeah. I don't even want to do commercials anymore, so I feel bad. No. And I never even did
one. Is
that
why he's doing it? Space Cowboys residuals have dried up?
I hope not. Get my man his fugitive money ASAP. Okay. I don't know any of the shorts. I haven't seen any
Didn't
of the
see
docs.
Any of them. Nope.
All right. What about animated feature? Maybe we can. I think we can do animated and international and then skip around.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, no, I haven't seen a lot of anime. I've seen Luca, Mitchells, Raya. I haven't seen Flea or Encanto. But I think the Mitchells versus the Machines was far and away such an amazing movie, even though Luca is about like Italian kids and swimming. So like,
on paper,
there's a character in Luca who's the fat kid who swims the fastest, and his dad covers him in olive oil before he goes for the swim to give him like more power in the water. And it's the most relate. I was like that. I finally felt represented on screen. But despite that, Mitchell's versus the Machine really hit home. Of like, this is a fun. Like, this is a movie where, like, when my nephews are old enough, I'm going to be stoked to show them, you know?
I think it has a chance of winning, but I think Encanto right now just feels so unstoppable.
That's true. And I haven't seen it either, but I know it has a full head of steam behind it. And people
everybody
really
loves
do
it.
Like
everybody
it.
Loves yeah. the songs. But I haven't seen it. It's the only one I haven't seen, but I think I want it to win is Flea. Just because it's like a documentary and it's different. Even the animation style is different. Like Mitchell's versus the Machines, like it's like an evolution from Into the Spider-Verse.
Right.
So
right,
it wasn't
right.
quite like, oh,
it
this
wasn't
is
revolutionary.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
But Flea, I like the idea. Just the visuals of it look like so making real use of animation in like an innovative way.
I didn't realize there was an animated doc. That's so fucking cool.
Then this would also probably be the best place to give it the win. Like it's probably going to not win doc feature. I don't know if it would with international, like those are its three big ones. So if it wins animated
feature.
I've not
seen any of them. I would love to see Questlove win for Summer of Soul.
I think
without
that's
having
the one
seen
to win
any
right
of the
now.
Movies.
Yeah. It's
on
so
Disney
good.
Plus.
Oh, people, I'm sorry, John, did you say it's so
that's
good?
Great. You definitely need to watch that.
Oh, I'm excited. When someone told me what it was, I was excited, but I haven't seen any of the other shit either. And I usually really like Doc, so I'll try to watch him before, the night of, so I can ruin the party.
Have an opinion.
Well, you still have a whole other month.
I know. Yeah. I know.
This is ridiculous. This is what's wrong. It should be like the Super Bowl. Nominations, 2 weeks later, the ceremony.
But then the movies can't make as much money off of
them. Yeah, but you got to capital. No one's going to watch the Oscars. Right. It's been too long. We're going to be talking about Power of the Dog 4 weeks from now still.
Yeah, we're a little far out. We're recording this on February 21st, yeah. And we've known the nominees for 10
like
days
3
now.
Weeks or something?
3 weeks, yeah.
Not
Jesus.
3 weeks. Closer to two, but yes.
I might be on Twitter
you, but
too
I also
much,
feel
though.
That, like, that it's done so that now all these movies can make money. Like, a whole bunch of these movies now have 6 weeks to make some money that they weren't making without this.
No, see, after this annual episode, I'm done. This is the end of my Oscars experience. So once I've done everything I could up to this point.
So anything
that,
you haven't seen,
I'll see
you're
it
not
when I
seen
see it.
It.
Yeah, I want to. I'll see Flea at some. That's the big one. I think I. Really
I'll bang out
see.
All the docs. Yeah. Only because I need direction in picking movies to watch documentary wise. So like now this gives gotcha. Me four documentaries I should watch.
Gives a little homework.
Yeah. I like a little homework. But I do want to see Drive My Car, Worst Person in the World, and yeah. I didn't see Red Rocket either. And I've
Red Rocket's great,
and I've heard enough
Love
stuff
Red
from
Rocket.
People who's like this exact situation, like a person whose opinion I respect saying Love Red Rocket, like John, like yeah. Ryan Stanger, a handful of people have mentioned it in front of me, and I was like,
and if you get me and Ryan Stanger both loving the movie, you're like, there's something.
Yeah,
about
that's
that
a pretty big circle for the Venn diagram that it hits both of you guys.
Right? Yeah, it's both of them. Okay,
it's the John Bernthal of movies.
Yeah. Fuck exactly. Yeah, four quadrant actor like Bernthal. We score and song. I could see Dune winning for score because it's Zimmer and it was good.
Yeah,
but
I could see that
Johnny Greenwood for The Power of Dog too. They
he's
like,
pretty
they
good
love, he's pretty fucking good, and
I
they
feel
love,
like Dune is just like, yeah, that's Hans Zimmer for you,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah we heard it, Hans. Yeah, got it. Yeah,
has he won, Hans Zimmer?
I have no idea. Jermaine Fowl, Encanto was good. I haven't heard Peril of Mothers. I would give it, it's not nominated, but Drive My Car, I'll shut up eventually about it. It did have an amazing score.
Oh,
it was like a light, jazzy, really cool.
Oh, Hans Zimmer won for Lion King.
Oh, musical movies shouldn't win for best scores. Like, if you have,
why?
But
what, they have an advantage.
Elton John wasn't who won.
It was the score, like the instrumental,
the score,
music, not the
songs.
Right, but that's why I think like. I think musical movies should not be allowed to be in the score category.
Oh, because like Encanto, which is nominated, but you think no, even though it's not Lin-Manuel Miranda stuff, that's what's nominated.
Right. I'm just saying that to have a strong take on something, but
that's ultimately meaningless.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't matter.
And usually a movie score will feature the theme of that song. You know what I mean? Like if you watch Titanic, you're like,
yeah,
they're playing My Heart Will Go On every 10 minutes.
Right.
In one way.
Boy, are they.
Boy, are they. Damn right. What do you think for best song? I thought Talk About Bruno is the one that I heard everyone saying everybody loves, but that's not nominated.
No, they didn't put it on the shortlist, which is now crazy.
Yeah.
What can you do?
But so yeah. So I bet the other Encanto song wins, right?
It's either that or Billie Eilish.
Or Billie Eilish, yeah.
That Billie Eilish one's pretty boring, though, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty boring.
The Beyonce one I liked.
Oh, the
to be fair, I listened to 2 minutes of that one, and Somehow You Do, the Reba one.
We're good.
I didn't bother with Van Morrison.
Oh, smart.
Is he going to blow my wig back with a new sound coming out of Van Morrison? Let me guess. There's harmonica. Save it. Get in the van.
All right. Now, outside of the Oscar movies, what movies did, and without Oscars being part of the criteria, what were your favorite movies of the year, of stuff that stuck with you guys, that like I really loved Dune, and we talked about it enough, but like
right.
I really loved Last Duel as well. I thought it was so
Last Duel.
It was so good. It was so,
and then such a gnarly duel.
That fucking
fucking,
you know what,
duel
at
was
minimum,
awesome.
At minimum,
you know
the
what?
Duel
they give
does,
it to you.
The duel delivers.
You know it's coming the whole time. It has to deliver, and it does.
Because this was also the last one.
Yeah.
They never said why this was the last one, though. They never said why this was the last one.
I think it was just like too many people were heartbroken by how it went out. Like everyone's like, everyone lost today. Like,
yeah. I like seeing like that kind of like combat, because usually medieval combat we see it in like 60s or 50s. It seems so sanitized and like goofy.
Right.
But when you see it, like, oh, it's fucking like hurts.
Yeah, it's and like, it's cheap. It's all cheap shots and shit. Oh,
yeah.
That reminds me of another good movie, if you haven't seen it, that also plays into that world. The King with Chalamet. It was a Netflix movie. Did you guys see this?
No.
I did not.
Oh, holy shit.
You lit up.
It's super, it's really, really good. And it features like a duel by, and it looks, and it lets you know like how people like Chalamet could be a king. Ah. It's like, oh, like he's
all
like,
right, okay.
It's super grimy fight. He's like, you know, like mostly wrestling and like a weird cheap shot to win it. And it's like, that's the king won the battle. And it's like, it shows you how fucked up and that could be. And Rob Pattinson's in it in a small part as like the French king. And he's just in the movie for like 15 minutes in the middle of it and brings an insane amount. Like, it's like the Tom Bombadil.
Rob Pattinson making a big choice?
Huh. I mean, I love the dude. He really can do no wrong in my eyes. I can't wait to see Batman. Yeah, dude.
I already got tickets.
Coming soon. I can't wait. I'm going to have to see it on the road, like in Atlanta or Puerto Rico.
Oh, just find their IMAX. One of my favorite movies that I haven't stopped thinking about since I saw it was shockingly not recognized by the Academy, was Malignant.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Not even in makeup. For Gabriel, the little arms wiggling on the back of her head.
Malignant fucking ruled.
Malignant rules.
I got a little bored of it towards the end, but like the tone of it was just so fucking perfect for me. It was like,
it's kind of like a Power of the Dog. Like, yeah. Once you know where it's going, then you can appreciate that. And like, oh, it was campy the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, it is crazy. Oh, this
he
movie
knows
is
what he's doing.
Okay. Yeah,
turns we're out. In safe hands.
Yeah.
I just love that jail cell scene with sex workers from the 70s.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Then, vintage sex workers for some reason. Yeah.
And then the gnarliest police station fight, like one of the best action sequences of the year.
Oh, fuck yeah. Great fucking action. You know what movie had great action this year? G.I. Joe, the Snake Eyes movie.
Snake Eyes?
Did you guys see the Snake Eyes?
I did not see the Snake Eyes movie.
Dude. I'm waiting for it to be. I'll watch it when it's on streaming because I want to see how they get into it.
Yeah,
what's the on ramp?
Yeah, how do they introduce us into this world? I want to see Cobra Easter eggs, like Destro Incorporated or something.
I'll tell you what, it's like over the top because it's a G.I. Joe movie, but just the fact that they don't have full blown superpowers and it is fight choreography. And here's the crazy thing: it's nighttime in one scene, it rains in one scene. It's like, and you realize how little that happens in like the Marvel and Star Wars
show. Oh,
where
right,
you're
yes.
like, oh, that must be, and it's like, oh, because they don't have to do like they're, and the two leads are absolute fucking studs, those guys. The guy from
Henry Golding is one of them, right?
Henry Golding from Crazy Rich Asians, absolute handsome. He is Snake Eyes, and then Andrew Koji from Warrior on Cinemax, another show I fucking love. Like, and Andrew Koji is like legit hot, and he plays Storm Shadow, and he's fucking awesome in it too. So it's like two hot Asian guys with fucking swords cutting through people. It's like a fucking.
I mean, what more do you want out of life?
No, in all honesty, what more that I don't want much more than attractive people cutting the heads off bad guys.
Like, you don't get studios don't make B movies anymore. They don't make like really good genre movies anymore, which is why I thought Malignant really stood out. Like, oh, here's something different.
Right, exactly.
And that's a total throwback.
And it feels like that's what the streamers could be really succeeding in, because they can't really give you the fucking richness and the depth of like a movie theater experience. Like, Power
like
the Dog,
more
Power
TV
the Dog
has gotten like movies. Movies have also become more like TV.
They've definitely
like
sunk
a lot
down.
Of movies just look like shit.
Like, Don't Look Up looked like shit. I watched Kimmy last night.
Kimmy.
I thought it was really
it.
Good. Yeah. I thought it was
fun, tight little thriller.
Fun, tight little thriller. And like, what is it? Like, it's like 88 minutes or some shit. And then,
like a bullet.
When it turns into like, oh shit, she's a badass. Like, I just like it. The shit is, it makes a great turn where you're like, fuck yeah. That's great. And Soderbergh really. There's something, maybe I'm getting old, but I really like his sort of like simplicity of like, yeah, here's a beautiful frame and here's a character talking in it for 2.5 minutes and here's a new frame.
Did you watch his other HBO Max one, Let Them All Talk? with like Meryl Streep and like her three best friends on a cruise ship.
No,
it came out a year ago. It's so good. That's another movie I was thinking about after I saw it. That's a must. That's another Soderbergh HBO Max.
Oh shit, I missed that.
Candice Bergen plays such an asshole. She's just like a lady who works in like a department store, but her character is like this friend group reunites on this cross Atlantic tour cruise ship, and like Candice Bergen's character is such an asshole. It's really fun. Not recognized by the Academy.
I gotta see this. I fucking love Soderbergh, man. He just he really just does it so simply.
He's good.
Yeah, and like he's the right guy to be like, you know, like Christopher Nolan's right. He shouldn't make streaming deals. He should make theater movies.
Yeah.
But guy like Soderbergh, who's like, I'm going to make you 88-minute thrillers. And, like, give it. That's a dude for streamers, because he also has a – he's going to shoot the shit out of it. It's not going to look like a Sorkin, exactly. Show.
Nonsense.
But, yeah, like, Power of Dog, just, even though it's a Netflix movie, you sit down in it, and it's like, this is a rich – it feels textured. It feels, you feel depth to it. Feel ambiance.
This doesn't feel like a Netflix movie so much as it feels like a movie that is on Netflix.
Exactly,
like it doesn't feel
exactly.
like their and then, aesthetic.
And then what was the one we're, Tick, Tick, Boom feels like a Netflix movie. It's great.
Yeah.
It's very enjoyable, but you do feel like you just watched like a Hulu comedy special or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I was watching a season 2 episode of ER the other day, and it was crazy.
Right.
The production value, there's like 100 extras in like these scenes where there's just like these long Steadicam shots through like the hospital, and like you don't see like the groups of extras any, or like a 70s movie where there's walking down the streets of New York.
Oh yeah,
it's like oh yeah, they don't do this anymore. There's no like scope.
Watching a lot of we rewatch a lot of old movies for Action Boys. I watched Bullet recently, and Bullet like holds on so many like the movies in the 70s. I just watched In the Heat of the Night last night too. I'm on a Sidney Poitier kick.
That's
since
fun.
Since he passed away, rest in peace. So those movies both like sit in scenes for longer. Like it's just less frenetic editing than we're used to.
Absolutely.
So it's like less cuts per movie, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, we might as well see Steve McQueen fully use his keys to get in the car, sit down, start it, flip this, pull out of the parking lot, take off, make a left out of frame, and then cut to him driving. Like, it's like, oh, that's enjoyable pacing that you don't see in a lot of movies anymore. Where it's like,
it
would just be like, dunk, 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 next step, fire.
See, just the keys in the thing. Then we see the thing.
Right. It'd be like Requiem for a Dreamed Up, where you're like, oh,
everyone's just teleporting into everything. Star Trek style. Like, we're going.
There, you can lose some of that because old movies did feature a lot of like, every character you should see them arriving.
Park.
Yeah. No one will understand someone if they just enter a room. So we have to see them enter the building from the outside, go down a hallway, then enter the room. You know.
Well, just 30 years ago, people were jumping out of the way of the train. Give them time. What movie I love that didn't have much was The Green Knight.
Oh, yeah.
That was another fun one when I was surprised to get any sort of attention.
Yeah, I thought it would get some like some visual stuff at minimum. But I really enjoyed that movie. Again, another weird movie that had me off kilter the whole time, where it's like, but it has like enough shit that there's no way I'm gonna not like it. It's
you
like,
leave satisfied.
Yeah, there's axes, there's tree people, there's this, there's a fucking nice tug off scene. Like,
you know, that off kilter feeling can be like, you don't have come away feeling like cheated or anything. You feel like you got an experience.
It's such a tough line to balance to walk of like, as an audience member, you're like, I'm confused, but it's not because I think you're dumb.
It's
because I trust that there's like something more to learn that I want to find out.
It's funny. Sometimes when we're watching a movie, Tiffany will like, because she just doesn't pay as close attention as me, which is upsetting based on how little attention I can manage. But she'll say something like, this is really confusing, right? I'm like, and I'll have to be like, yeah, I think we're supposed to be in the dark here. Like, don't worry. You're not
we're
like
meant
and,
to not know.
Yeah. It's okay. We're going to all know soon. But it is something that is so common now where you're like, oh man, this is too dense. Oh no. Okay. It's supposed to be. Yeah. TV is like, hold your hand. Like, you know, has chyrons that explain everything and shit like that. What about you, John? Any other, any movies for you this year that we
I was surprised that like, Like, In the Heights didn't get anything. I thought it was better than West Side Story. I'll say that.
Oh, wow.
That's outrageous, John. It wasn't directed better.
No, but I also feel like, I don't know. I feel like Steven Spielberg and just Tony Kushner just had this, the luxury of like, oh, we have this move, this show and this score legend. That's already legendary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can mess with it a little bit and it's fine, as opposed to like, oh, and granted, In the Heights was a stage show, which I hadn't seen before. So it was like new to me just as a film. But you know, like creating something from scratch or doing something new, I just think it's a little harder.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it was interesting.
It was fine.
I mean, I gave it 3.5. I didn't hate it. It's not as good as West Side Story. And I didn't even love West Side Story.
Red Rocket was great.
I want to see that really bad.
Barb and Star. Where's that
loved.
Screenplay?
Oh, that was
loved
super fun.
Barb that's funnier than Don't Look Up. Now that's a comedy.
Yeah. Barb and Star is the best, right? The best comedy of the year.
I would say so.
I think so. Definitely.
What movie made me laugh more than Barb and Star this year? I don't think there was one. Yeah.
No Time to Die? Were you just chuckling?
I enjoyed No Time to Die.
There was a wry smile, but not chuckling.
I enjoyed No Time to Die.
It was my third favorite Craig Bond movie.
Yeah. Is Royale your favorite? Casino Royale?
And then probably Skyfall.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, I love that relationship he has with M. I wish he had a relationship with Q. Yeah. His relationship with M and Skyfall, you care more about that than you do with this like lady and No Time to Die. Like, where did she come from?
No Time to Die kind of makes you...
Where did she show up? Who let her in here?
I don't care about her.
It's one of those movies that when you're watching it, you're like, oh, they need me to believe how important the stakes they are telling me. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like, oh, this is manufactured. Like, just keep in mind, this is an important character. Okay. Like, you know, you have no feelings towards her, but we're going to let you know that somehow she matters for the next 2 hours and 40 minutes or whatever the fuck that was. It's like, and eventually there's like the end of that movie just features like James Bond with like a AR-15, just like shooting people.
Mowing
and it's
people
like,
down.
And it's
Call
like, okay, that's kind of funny. Right. Exactly. It becomes Call of Duty.
Not really a spy.
And I like that kind of action, but I don't need that from Bond.
No.
I think I've made this joke previously, but like Bond runs a lot, this Bond. You know, not a lot of Bonds run.
That's the effect of Tom Cruise, I guess.
Yeah.
About this? Go ahead.
Sorry, Tom Cruise. How excited are we? We're all Mission Impossible heads here, so we're just dying for the next one.
I can't wait.
It's delayed.
The final two is gonna be, right?
I think it's delayed because Tom Cruise is like, it has to come out. It has to make billions when it comes out.
Oh.
Like, there's no way it can come out until everyone is like, until movie theaters.
Every single person
apparently
can
now,
come to
it's
buy
like
a ticket to it.
It's gotten so expensive because they're doing all the crazy COVID protocols, which should be done away with. I agree with that, Morrison.
Thank you. All right.
What do we think about the Oscars, the fan favorite?
The fan favorite, about that thing.
Oh, wait, talk to me about this. I don't know much about it.
So people are voting through Twitter, and they're going to announce the top two fan favorite movies? The top five.
Oh, that's just fun.
Seems like that's the People's Choice Award. Do that there.
Right, but is there no prize or anything, right? They're just
You don't get an Oscar. You just win. You say...
It's an announcement like during the broadcast or something?
Yes.
I say put that shit with the technical Emmys or technical Oscars or play it. Why not?
I know. None of these matter.
Yeah.
God, imagine they gave an Oscar to an undeserving film. Oh my God. How would we ever recover?
The integrity would be lost.
Ask Peter Farrelly. Farrelly.
The one in the lead, I think, is that Amazon Cinderella movie.
Oh,
it's like currently in the lead.
That's great.
Because it's just going to be like stands. It's going to be like crazy Twitter people.
And if that makes a bunch of 14-year-old kids who are obsessed with a Cinderella movie tune into the Oscars just to see that.
Right? Why aren't they showing the movie trailers instead of on the Super Bowl?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. Nobody's watching the Oscars. They're like the lowest rate.
Why
the ratings
aren't we
keep...
Yes. Why aren't movie trailers premiering at the Oscars is a great question.
Yeah. Because people love to like see... When that Spider-Man trailer was coming, people were like... All people were talking about, it's in 2 hours. In 2 hours, releasing the trailer.
I know. We could just like they can harness that shit.
Just say we're going to show it sometime during in the first hour. We're going to show it. You
the
don't
new
know
Jim
when.
Jarmusch trailer is going to drop during the Oscars. Get excited.
And then before you do it, you just show like a tribute to like sound editors. So then maybe people learn something before they get
their vegetables before they get their dessert.
A tribute to sound editors. Oh, it turns out a lot of them died in weird terrorist attacks that they committed. Who gets the last frame in the in memoriam? Who is it, you think?
Is Betty White?
The movie-going audience.
There we go.
Kevin Spacey's publicist.
Yeah, like, it was a murder-suicide, let's hope.
Fingers crossed.
Is this the one?
I think Betty White might be the one, right?
Well, is she a movie star, though?
Like, all you have to do is have done one movie.
Yeah.
She might need a voice at something.
Yeah, they just need it for the image. I mean, she made it to 99. She was like known for being old, and she died sort of.
She was
late.
Known for being old.
I mean, she was like famous for being old for like 40 years. Like, that's crazy to pull up. Like, I'm an old lady in this sitcom, and it's like,
that's
and
better
I work
than being
for
like,
40 yeah. years after it. It's like,
that's better than
shit.
Being famous for being young, because how yes. do you sustain that?
No, it's impossible.
That's the time
ask
to peak.
Ask Courtney Cox.
She's trying.
I was trying to do a Mark Rennie joke and impression at the same time, and I got too giddy.
I'm flattered and insulted.
Yeah, perfect.
Keeping our relationship pretty much in the most the normal dynamic for us.
Do you think Spider-Man No Way Home should get an Oscar or be nominated?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't
so.
Have been surprised if it had been nominated for something.
Yeah, with a 10, if I wouldn't have been mad as it right. being one of 10. But it would be so obviously just like a marketing
pandering.
Point. Yeah, yeah, pandering. Sure. Because it was a really fun movie, but as... It was also about getting into MIT.
Yeah. And curing Electro for some reason. Why are we curing Electro?
The stakes don't really work for me.
They don't
when
make
I'm
any
like
sense.
Stressed for three fake characters to get into MIT.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, what?
No backup?
Yeah, no one has backup.
And this murder trial is like resolved in like 5 seconds.
And now Dr. Strange's like whole vibe is because of this now. Like, he's like, just because I fucking Peter Parker didn't get into MIT, now I have to deal with the multiverse of madness. Like,
yeah, there's nothing else. You have nothing else going on in your life.
That's what kicks off phase 5 is a guy going, I wish I got into MIT. It's like, well, we can rearrange the universe and time as we know
right.
it. It's like, okay, why
I
not?
I think Marvel's in their flop era.
I think you are right. It's weird. Marvel is like in their flop era, but it feels like Star Wars is on their
it's
way
on
back
the right.
up.
I didn't love Book of Boba Fett. Only liked when the Mandalorian
not
showed
at
up.
All. Uh-huh. Book of Boba Fett is
why
very
is he
funny.
A crime lord? What's the point of? There's no yeah. crime. What are you doing? What are you
and he doesn't
over?
Want to be one. Yeah.
Yeah. In the last episode, the fucking blue face guy goes, "What's your plan here, at Boba Fett?"
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. Rogue. And it's like, you just made us watch 8 hours of this, and now you're
yeah.
saying we don't know what the. Who cares about? But why would he be a crime lord? They don't. Every time he's just like, all right, they're fucking with us. Well, let's slowly walk over there and ask him.
Time
why
to go see the mayor.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is this Spin City? Get the fuck out of here. But then the Mandalorian shows up. The sequence where they just like takes that ship out for, they build the ship and then
yeah.
take it for a test flight.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
this is amazing. Yeah. This is, and Amy Sedaris is there. What
he's
more
great.
Do I want out of
do
a show?
Do you think those... Those were like Mando scripts that were like
I'm
in
sure.
development for something else. And they were like,
they're like, oh, we need to do these now.
Episode 2 of Boba Fett, everyone's like,
they're like
shit,
oh,
shit.
This is going
shit.
Nowhere.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
in a hole.
It's like, well, let's just throw 2 Mando episodes in the middle
right.
there. Like that. Fuck, dude. Because it feels so good. Like, he's so much less charismatic than Pedro Pascal, and Pedro Pascal yeah. has a mask on the whole
the
time.
The entire
like,
time, right?
It's like, it's more engaging to watch.
Yeah, he's got that iconic walk. You know what
I
mean?
Know, it's
like, it's just like,
I was like, you're really great. Failing if the guy I care more about is the guy who I can't see his right. facial expressions. If the guy
right.
conveys more emotion without his face, I think that's a more compelling character.
Yeah. You were just out-acted by Andrew Heder.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
I have no idea what you're talking
no
about.
Idea.
Napoleon Dynamite. John Heder.
John Heder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Please edit that out. I think Andrew Heder was a student of mine. So I feel bad now.
Sick burn.
No, he's a very nice man. I got Napoleon Dynamite's name wrong.
Yeah, no, I think it's okay. I think he's not going to get offended. You conflated two. They have two last the same last name.
I'm so sorry.
You didn't call, like, it's not like calling Denzel Washington like Keith Washington. It's no big deal.
Okay.
Edit that out as well. Actually, edit most of this out.
It's just to be Mark 5 minutes.
Mark screaming, I hated Coda. That's it.
Yeah.
Movies, any movies we're looking forward to?
Anything I want to see Everything Everywhere All at Once, the new Michelle Yeoh, like A24 multiverse movie directed by Daniels.
Those are the guys that did the Harry Potter like jet ski movie.
Swiss Army Man.
The Harry Potter farting jet ski movie.
Yeah.
You guys knew what I was talking about.
I did.
Sure. Holy shit, weed is a hell of a drug.
That movie looks awesome.
Yeah, that movie looks really fun, and I love her. She's the best.
The actor who played Short Round in Indiana Jones,
yeah,
and was dated in the Goonies. He's in it. I think he plays her husband. It's like he hasn't acted in 20 years.
Oh, that's so fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'm excited to see him.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited for Pattinson's Batman, as we said.
Of course. I'm a little worried it's 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm a little stressed about it. Like, I hope it's general, but yeah.
But everything I've seen, I'm into. I love Robert Pattinson. I think it'll be interesting.
Love Zoe Kravitz.
She's our Kimmy.
Great.
Yeah, she's our Kimmy. So, move over, Gibbler. We've got our new Kimmy.
Yeah.
All right, enough about movies. Let's talk you guys. Where can people fucking find you? I mean, you're the two old queens. If they high and mighty listeners, the shitheads definitely know who the two old queens are, but why don't you direct anyone who might have just searched Oscars on their podcast app and are here to get mad about something. Yeah. That came people who searched Oscars with a very specific plan and listened, and I didn't specifically speak to the thing they wanted, and now I will get a reply about on social media.
Well, everything else is served once them.
Yeah, right, exactly. Why can't this be too?
You can find it more just everywhere you get podcasts, Two Old Queens.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, CWO Old Queens. We have a live show
coming up in March. March 25th at the Treefort Music Festival in Boise, Idaho.
So come check it out if you're nearby.
Yeah,
Get your ass to Boise.
Open your mind.
That's Kuwato.
Open your mind.
Okay.
Give the people air. Richter.
It's a perfect movie.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Sleazy.
Total Recall is better than any movie that was nominated this year.
Agreed.
For anything.
Even drive
in any
my
category.
Car.
Total Recall is better than anything.
All right. You heard it here. Mark Rennie says Total Recall better than Encanto.
It's
That's
true.
His hill, and he's dying on it.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about Bruno, frankly.
Did you guys see Benedetta? That was another movie.
I did love Benedetta.
I have not seen it, but I hear
that's really another good one. At first, I was like, because I wasn't like quite sure what it was, like the tone of it. But then I just did keep thinking about it.
Yeah, and that was another one that I saw in the theaters by myself and felt really weird. No, I saw that one with Tiffany and felt really good.
It had like a 70. It felt like a 70s like exploitation movie in all the right ways.
Yeah, exactly. It was so fucked up and weird, and
great
also
ending.
Like
it all comes together.
Yeah, amazing ending.
It's amazing.
So Two Old Queens, whatever you're listening to this podcast on, just pull out your phone, stay in the app, search Two Old Queens, and subscribe and listen, but at least subscribe.
At least.
Very those numbers.
At least fill your fucking phone's hard drive with gigs and gigs of hello. I would be happy. If when you guys make a super cut of that and release it for like your top level Patreon subscribers, let me know. I'll jump on for that.
I guess people don't do ringtones anymore.
No. I saw a really funny, it went viral, a funny meme that was like, we used to pay real money for ringtones. Now if your phone rings, your whole day is ruined.
Yeah.
It's like so funny. It's like, now the worst thing that can happen to you is your phone ringing. But we used to be like, dude, I got Holla Back Girl for $11.
Yeah. You know? That's how it used to be with like getting mail. You'd be like, oh God, what is this? But now it's like the phone rings. Oh God.
Oh no. It's got my, they got my insurance.
They got me. I'm going to jail.
I'm toast.
I'm toast.
I got another podcast called Action Boys. You can listen to that at actionboys.biz. We do have some free episodes. You can search in the podcast app and check those out. I also do every Monday night live at 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern. I do the show Movie Buff. It's also on Spotify. You can listen to old episodes. Mark and John will have joined me on this week's episode of Movie Buff, which we are actually recording tonight. So if you're listening to this and want to hear how we sound while talking to other people about their bad opinions, jump over there and check that out. I think the link is somewhere in the show notes of this episode. And the Two Old Queens link to your stuff will also be in the show notes. Emma's got us all taken care of here. And as always, bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!